This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Why We Play. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. What happens when you don't know how to play? Does it matter when you're grown up? Pulse reporter Liz Tung says she doesn't know how to play, and we sent her on a quest to find out if this is something you could relearn.
So here's why I say I don't play. Everyone I know has their thing. Video games, soccer, game nights with friends. Everyone except for me. I've always been kind of an indoor kid. I'm not good at sports. I never got into video games, and I'm not super craftsy. So what exactly am I doing with my free time?
For fun and relaxation.
That's my husband, Wooly. For the record, he enjoys tinkering, playing music, and doing the occasional jigsaw puzzle, though not with me.
When we do jigsaws together, I tend to be able to find the pieces and put them in the right places, and you just get annoyed because I'm putting pieces in and you can't find any.
Anyway, I asked Wooly how he sees me unwinding on a daily basis.
I think a lot of the time for fun, you either browse Reddit, watch X-Files, or go window shopping on Amazon and other sites, or look at sofas.
This is sadly true, which is not to say I haven't tried other things. When I first started reading about how important play is, I actually Googled, how do you play as an adult? And I tried some of the suggestions. I jumped rope.
See if I can do a double swing.
I got a coloring book and crayons. I went back to some of the computer games I liked as a kid.
I just lost all my rings. Oh, man. I used to be so good at this.
For the most part, it just felt like a chore. Which got me wondering, is this something I could change? Is it something I should change? To answer those questions, I turned to the undisputed king of play research, Stuart Brown. And I told him, I don't think I know how to play.
I realized that, like, I seem to be the only one on our staff who doesn't have some form of play in my life. So,
That's too bad. Well, maybe we can remedy that.
Stuart's in his 80s now, and he's been studying play in some form or other for about 50 years. The story of how he first got interested in this research is actually pretty dark. It all started back in 1966 with a grisly shooting at the University of Texas.
One of history's worst mass murders occurred here in Austin today.
The killer was a 25-year-old veteran named Charles Whitman, who that day climbed to the top of a tower and shot dozens of people, sniper style, killing 14. It was one of America's first big mass shootings. And what made it even scarier was that Whitman was well-liked and had no known history of criminal violence. So the state of Texas put together a commission of doctors and researchers to find out what went wrong. Back then, Stuart was a young doctor, also a psychiatrist and clinical researcher who had experience with violent offenders. So they recruited him to help the commission figure out what had happened.
Why this young man, without a record of violence, had perpetrated this horrible crime?
They ended up doing a really deep dive. They interviewed Whitman's family and friends, and the conclusion they came to
was that a highly disturbed, omnipresent father had suppressed from the beginning of his life all efforts on Whitman's part to play.
Today, Stuart says there were probably other factors going on, but he was so taken with this idea that he ended up dedicating the next 50-plus years of his life to studying play. And what he concluded was that play isn't just a thing that we do.
It's a kind of a state of being in which you're engaged in an activity for its own sake. It produces a sense of usually of joyfulness or fulfillment, and it takes you out of a sense of self or time.
Stuart says his research has taught him that this state of being, this engagement, is a lot deeper than most people think.
And you begin to see that this natural phenomenon of play is deeply embedded in nature. It's there. And it's definable, and it's a different state from all others. It's as different biologically, from my standpoint, from normal consciousness, as sleep and dreams are, also from normal consciousness. It's just different.
And like sleep, research has shown that play offers some important benefits. As children, it helps us develop physically and mentally. It nurtures creativity, improves our social skills, builds up confidence, and hones plenty of other important skills. But what about for adults? According to Stewart, play still occupies a crucial role after we grow up.
I think the first thing you get is a sense of lightening of mood. You know, what you're doing engages you. If it's true play, it's done for its own sake. We get more optimistic about life. We are open to making new connections and seeking out novelty.
Going without it, by contrast, can be bad news for your emotional health.
What you see is a kind of a smoldering depression.
You lose the ability to enjoy things, find the smaller pleasures in life. Stewart explores all of this in a book he published about 10 years ago called Play: How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and Invigorates the Soul.
The book is about why human beings play. Like, why did we evolve to play?
That's Charlie Hone. He's an author, filmmaker, and marketing strategist. And he says he first stumbled across Stewart's book during a tough time in his life.
So play is this essential ingredient in life that's just as important as sleep. And I learned that from the book, and I started laughing when I was reading the book because I realized, oh my God, I've been depriving myself of play for years.
Back then, Charlie was in his mid-20s and burning the candle at both ends. His career was on the fast track, but the constant work, stress, and anxiety was burning him out. His hands started to shake, he had panic attacks, and his heart felt like it was beating out of his chest.
It felt like I was very sick, in that I was either going crazy or that I was dying.
It got so serious that Charlie eventually ended up quitting his job to focus on trying to get his health back. Months went by and nothing seemed to be working until he came across Stewart Brown's book and had this revelation.
Maybe this is what I need to do. Maybe I just need to allow myself to play.
So the next time someone contacted Charlie for a coffee meeting, Charlie suggested, hey, why don't we go to the park and play catch instead? And the guy's like, sure, sounds like a blast. So they do.
And when I came back and started working again, I noticed this sensation in my body that I hadn't felt in years, which was joy and lightness. And my work came easily. I was more able to get things done quicker.
That was enough to convince Charlie that he was on the right track. He signed up for a couple team sports. He even started an improv class. And he says for him, it was like a kind of active meditation, a way for him to go with the flow and enjoy it instead of trying to control everything around him. Today, Charlie helps other people go through that process. And he says the first step is looking at your play history. That's an idea he got from Stewart Brown, who's taken the play histories of countless patients over the years. And Stewart says it's a pretty in-depth process.
For example, show me the pictures of yourself when you were an infant. What do you see? What's your natural tendency? Do you like visual things, auditory things, tactile? Can you remember? What were you told your initial temperament and personality were like?
Answering those questions was my first assignment in my mission to rediscover play. So to do that, I decided to go straight to the source.
Hello.
I
was just texting.
My parents.
It's soupy out there.
We started with my baby album.
Okay. And what do I look like as a baby?
You have a really big head and kind of a ruddy complexion.
We're leafing through pictures, which cover birth up until I'm 3 or 4. And according to my parents, my predilection for sitting on my ass goes all the way back to the beginning.
You were very placid. In fact, you would fall asleep while you were feeding, and I would have to kind of flick the bottom of your feet with my fingers to get you more alert.
But when I got old enough to start playing, my parents said I had a very specific focus.
So that, I think that's what I remember most about your preschool play years, is that there was a lot of pretend and there was a lot of imagination.
My sister and I had a stuffed animal family, the Randabucks, the whole backstory and little houses we'd built in our closets. As we got older, that creative energy evolved into something more like improv.
It was like you were always writing, extemporizing skits with each other, with these sort of imaginary characters. And so that dialogue would go on and on and on and on.
According to my parents, I also had a fondness for doing impersonations. Bill Clinton was my specialty. And for dressing our cat up in costume jewelry. They said the common thread was improvisation, silliness, whimsy.
And what you didn't do was play much with toys. You weren't indifferent, but you weren't fascinated either.
Which kind of explains why my adult attempts at playing mostly fell flat. Puzzles, jump rope, coloring books just wasn't my thing, because I never really liked doing that stuff. What I did like was storytelling, pretend, forcing my parents to listen while I read from an old joke book from the 1950s. The question is, how does that impulse translate into adult play? For one thing, according to longtime play researcher Gary Chick, play doesn't have to involve other people.
No, it does not have to be social.
What it does need to be is fun, engaging, and not performed for any other purpose other than your own enjoyment. Which, when I think about it, is kind of what I do for my job. Of course, I do the work because it's work, because I need a paycheck at the end of the day. But all this reflecting made me think, could it be that, in a way, my job counts as play? It seemed totally counterintuitive. But if you ask Gary, it isn't. At least not necessarily. I asked him what he does for play. He's retired now, but this is what he said.
Mostly what I do, and this may sound awful, but I get a kick out of doing research. That's my play. And seriously, and I play this, you know, people are really going to think, what kind of a lunatic is this guy? Doing statistics and computer programming, I find to be playful.
I was encouraged by that, because that means I don't need to stress myself out rediscovering how to play. It's already a part of my life. I just had to rethink what exactly play meant for me. For The Pulse, I'm Liz Tung.